You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
If I say Christ is risen, do you know what to say in response? If I say it one more time, will you say it louder? I'll say, for those who didn't hear, it was, he is risen indeed, okay? Christ is risen? See, a lot of times we only do that on Easter Sunday, but we forget that it's true every Sunday, every day, every Tuesday, every Wednesday. Can we keep going? Yes. Christ is risen all the time. Good morning, Riverside. Good morning, Camp Rayburn. Thank you so much for taking time to come and worship with us today. I'm Andrew. I'm a pastor here, and I'm really excited to talk about the passage that Scott just read for us. But before we do that, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for being so very near to us. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your scriptures and through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And as we open your word together, may these words of my mouth and meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. So before we jump into 1 John chapter 4, I want to highlight just a couple verses from 1 John chapter 3 that I talked about at length a few weeks ago, and they're these. They say this, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another." You heard that again today in Scott's reading, "We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." Yikes, that's two different things, right? Loving one another and murdering your brother are two different things, right? We agree? Those are not the same category. Love and murder are not the same category, right? When I talked about this passage a few weeks ago, we talked about the stark contrast between love and hate, life and death, and we talked about love and actually defining love as something that gives life rather than taking it away. That one of the core definitions of what it means to love in the Jesus way is to give of yourself, to love of yourself, to offer self-sacrificially, to give life rather than take it away. The opposite of love is hate. That takes away life. That takes away love. Love is the positive side, which offers goodness and gives love. So the example of murder comes from a story in the book of Genesis that you may have read, and it is the exact opposite of love. And I just hope that as we talk about love today, we'll think about it in those terms. Love is something that gives life. Hate is something that takes life away. Love is something that gives life, and that's what we're called to do, to give life to one another. So, now, back to 1 John chapter 4 that Scott just read for us. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, does not love, does not know God, because God is love." Does anybody know a song related to those words? A couple people? Just a few. I sang it for a few people at staff meeting not too long ago, and they all like looked at me like I was insane. But, you know, we all have songs. "Let us love one another, for love comes from God." Let us love one another, for love comes from God. This is the big why of love. Why do we love one another? Why? Because it is something that comes from who? God. It is something that comes from the very character of God. Love is a defining characteristic of God. And if God is going to love us enough to save us, to redeem us, and to include us in his family, we ought to start taking on the characteristics of God. It's not just an ought, though. It's not just something we should do, as though we have to like come up with the muster up the love on our own. Love comes from God, and God generously gives it to us. God offers it, it comes from him, and he offers it to us. And just like love is God's defining characteristic, what do you think should be our defining characteristic as followers of God? Love. I heard it. Love should be our defining characteristic as well. Everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. if we've been born of God and know God, if we've experienced the transforming love of God, that will come out in the way we live our lives. Right? If we've been transformed by the love of God, it will come out in our lives through loving one another. But it might not happen automatically. I know the folks at Camp Rayburn have been learning about prayer this week. One of the things that's so important about prayer is that it is spending time, quality time with God, right? It is about getting away and being present with Him, directing our attention to Him, because He always has His attention on us. But giving our attention to God, being with Him, and just being present to His love, because we learn how to love by being with Him, right? The more time we spend with God, the more immersed we are in His presence and in who He is, the more loving we become. Something that is almost caught from Jesus. And John is saying in 1 John 4 that perhaps the simplest way to tell whether we know God or not is whether we love one another. Are we loving in the way Jesus loved? Are we giving life to others, or are we taking it away? Everyone who loves knows God. Everyone who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. If you know Him, if you know love, and you will show love. God is love. You heard those words before? God is love is a wonderful idea. It looks nice on a t-shirt, or maybe on a placard in your kitchen. Maybe engraved into a cutting board. I mean, God is love could be anywhere. But it also can seem a little mushy. Anybody ever felt that way? God is love can feel a little mushy? Mushy isn't all bad. Knowing that God calls us friend, delights in us, wants to be with us, genuinely likes us is important for us both theologically, psychologically, and practically. We need to know that God loves us. But how do we know that God loves us? How do we know that that's a true statement? You ever wonder? God is love. Okay, so you say. But how do we know that God is love? Verses 9 and 10 will show that. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There it is. God is love, and I can prove it. How can I prove it? Because Jesus Christ laid His life down for us. That is the proof that God is love. Does that make sense? That He didn't stop short of the goal, that He went all the way to the cross. He sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. God the Father was thinking of us somehow when He sent His Son Jesus into the world, thinking about how we might have life, and concluding that the only way that we might truly have life is through Him and then through His atoning sacrifice. Wow. So we do not come up with the definition of what love is, okay? The way we treat each other is a reflection of the definition of love given to us by God, by His character. Love is something that is defined by who God is Himself, lived out in God becoming flesh, dying on a cross, rising from the dead to give us eternal life. That story, that historical event, which refuses to stay in the past. You believe that? That is a historical event that refuses to stay in the past. It's always coming into our hearts. It's drawing us into a future where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. That is what love is. That's what God's love is, period. God is love, and He has proved it through His actions. Man, this is good stuff. I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over again. Do you feel that way too? But it's good stuff. Verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Love is life-giving. Since God so loved us, God gave His life for us. Jesus Christ gave His life for us. We ought to love one another, be a life-giving presence for others. So what might it look like for us to be a life-giving presence for others? I asked this question a few weeks ago, and some of y'all responded out loud and everything, and even into a microphone. And we heard stories. We heard stories of people who adopted kids who needed a loving place to belong. Is that an act of love? It sure can be. There was a story highlighted about a woman who was part of our church for a very long time named Deidre, and how this church came around her so that she could face her death with so much love and so much dignity, and that we can celebrate her along the way, and how that was life-giving on behalf of so many people in this church. We heard a story of a retired neighbor who stepped up and offered to care for a one-year-old anytime, no questions asked. And we heard a call, a preacher among us who called us to give to anyone who asks, because that's what Jesus taught us to do. John says that if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Little things with great love. It's not all about big, gaudy productions of love. Love is sometimes the smallest things. It's showing up, being there, being a listening presence, being a friend. And when we give life and lay down our lives for one another, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to die doing it. That did happen for Jesus. He actually died doing it. Giving of ourselves, laying down of ourselves, of our own lives, is something we can do with our very presence. Jesus has accomplished what needs to be done. Jesus has atoned for our sins. As followers of God, attached to God, we can be examples of God's life-giving presence wherever we go. And that is how people see God. When you love somebody, when you give of yourself, when you pour your life into somebody, or when somebody does it for you, that's how people see God. Right? We may not be able to see God walking around, but we see God through the acts of love that people do for one another. When you make space in your life for people who are down and out and really need it, God is made visible. Some people might look for God in a solar eclipse. Possible. Or in some other large and loud ways. And I will say that solar eclipse is something pretty spectacular that God baked into this universe that he made. Pretty awesome. But I think God shows up most clearly through simple acts of love, not through giant stars in the sky. All right, I got to keep going. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. So on the outside, God is made visible through our acts of self-giving love. And inwardly, we are assured of God's love by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure how many of you or how familiar you are with the concept of the Trinity or the Triune God. You've heard this concept before? In the Christian church, we believe there is one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anybody heard that before? Yes, okay. We arrive at this understanding of God based on passages like this. We're given the Spirit in order to see and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. They're all connected, all working together for one goal, that we might experience the love of God. Just talked about last week that believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing in the incarnation, that God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, that is right at the heart and at the center of what it means to follow Jesus, believing that Jesus came in the flesh and that Jesus wants to be followed and is worthy to be followed, and that we should follow him, that he's not just some cool guy that had some clever ideas and some funny jokes a couple thousand years ago. That's not all Jesus is. Because God is, if you remember one thing, just remember that today. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Okay, so God is love. It's not just that God does loving things, but he does, right? It's not just that God does loving things. Like, if you met God, he's like super loving, right? That's great. But God is love. Loving isn't just another thing that God does. Like ruling. God rules, right? God has authority. That is something that God does, and he's great at it. The best. Creating. God creates. God is a creative being. God creates by speaking. God is not creation, but God is love. It's not just something he does. Everything that God does is loving. Absolutely everything. Everything that God can conceive of possibly doing will be characterized by love. Why? Because God is, come on, all God's activity is loving activity. So when God made you, that was love. That was an act of love. When God listens to your prayers, that is an act of love. He hears them with loving ears. He answers them the way he chooses, in love. And he may not always answer in the way that we like, but he always responds in love. And when John says that in this world we are like Jesus, it means that we love. That's it. When we are in this world and we are like Jesus, the ways we are like Jesus are the ways that we love. And when we do that, there's no need to fear. When we're tracking with God, when we're walking in his ways, when we're living for others instead of just ourselves, we have no need to fear. And then this section finishes off with these words. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. It's a pretty good summary of all that we've talked about. God is made visible through love. We show that we are part of God, that we are God's children by loving our brothers and sisters, loving one another. Self-giving love.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.